Amen. Aren't you thankful Jesus is everything? Take your Bibles, turn over to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. I've heard preachers say for years that preaching specialized messages on special days, of course it seems like every other month there's holidays that are now popping up all over the place. And so I'll be honest with you, I didn't have a special Father's Day message on my heart for today. And the Lord settled it in my heart that I can just follow Him and not the calendar. Isn't that a blessing? And so we thank the Lord for that. But God's so faithful to us. I'll publicly give testimony. I thank the Lord. My dad's in heaven today, his second Father's Day up there. But second one from down at this perspective, same day on heaven side. But I'm thankful for a dad that raised us in church, did not give church as an option. And so I've been reading a statement lately. It seems like it keeps coming up that parents, if we'd remember that if we treat church optional, our kids will do the same. And I'm so thankful for a dad that raised us in church, taught us the authority of the Word of God, and raised us to do what's right. You say, was he perfect? Far from it. Far from it. Because opposites attract, and my mom was. But I will say this, he loved God. And he loved the Bible. We thank the Lord for it. Romans chapter number 8, if you found it, let's stand together. We'll begin reading in verse number 26. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 26. The Bible says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say that? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I'm going to come back and look at verse number 29 to begin with this morning, where it says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. I'm going to preach on the subject matter this morning on resembling Christ. Resembling Christ. In other words, looking like Christ, acting like Christ, talking like Christ, resembling Christ. And that's what we're called to do. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we love you. Thank you for the reading of the Word of God. Lord, would you speak to our hearts in a way that no man can? Would you do that work that I cannot do? And that's reaching into the heart of every man, woman, boy and girl that's here this morning. And Lord, may the desire of our heart be to resemble Christ. Well, thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Resembling Christ. A few weeks ago, and I guess this is in honor of Father's Day, but a few weeks ago there was we had a surprise little get together for Becky and Larry for their 25th anniversary. And Becky's not that old, but Larry is. And so it was during that time, my brother was over here in town. And so we were getting a picture together, the three of us siblings. We had two sisters that couldn't make it into town. But the three of us were getting a picture together. And it was during that time that I did my best dad impersonation. And that's where the picture came from on Facebook. If you get on Facebook and look back over that. And it was a rather hilarious time. We won't get into that whole story, okay? But it was a time of resembling, and I did my best. And thankfully, hopefully, I won't do that all my life. but be able to resemble that person from which I was begotten. And many times we look at children, and one of the first things, and I think today we have the new baby that's here that was just born this week, Lennon Olive. She just made her way in. And but some of the first things that said is, okay, do they look like their dad or do they look like their mom? And then we start wondering, they don't look like either one of them, and praise the Lord for that. Amen. In some cases. And so the first thing is we start looking at the children and start saying, which one of the parents do they resemble? I was reminded of that when I came over this week to Romans chapter number 8, where it's speaking to Christians here. Let me remind us, this verse is written to Christians. This is not speaking of being predestined to salvation. This is speaking for every one of us that are saved. We are predestined. That means it is going to happen one way or another. We are predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So each and every day of our lives, there ought to be a desire in our lives. If God is our Heavenly Father, and He is desiring to conform us into the image of His Son, there should be a desire in our heart that every day we ought to look more and more like the Lord Jesus than what we did the day before. We ought to not identify with the world. We ought to identify with our Heavenly Father. Now, we do have a choice on whether that will take place down here on this earth. But regardless of whether we strive for it down here on this earth, if we're a child of God, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye on our way up, we're going to be conformed to the image of His Son. And I would rather that transformation be not so drastic on the way up there, that perhaps we could start that in our sanctification down here on this earth. That while we grow, while we read the Scriptures, while we spend time in prayer, we draw closer to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. How long has it been since maybe someone looked at us and said, you look and act and talk like a Christian? The word was put out, Brother Mike Adams, he was telling me yesterday, that as he started a new job a few weeks ago, and as soon as he showed up on the job, a young man walked up to him and said, so I hear you're a preacher. First word was already getting around, and he said, what an opportunity, a mission field to be able to start witnessing and to be able to talk to people about the Lord and been able to meet some other Christians on the job site. We're reminded over in Acts chapter number 11, the first century Christians, as they were being persecuted, as they were spreading out, as they were sharing their faith, as they were living for God, the Bible says in Acts chapter 11, they were first called Christians at Antioch. And the reason for that is because the world, those that were unsaved, that they weren't going to church, they were the unchurched crowd, the religious crowd, they looked at this group of people and said, you're looking and acting an awful lot like that man that we crucified. And started calling them Christians, which means little Christ. And we ought to listen, everything in life is to make us Christ-like. Now, I'm not going to ask you, because I know that several here have had this verse probably wrongly applied to our lives. How many of y'all love it with Romans 8:28 that we're going through something in life and we know that all things work together for good, and you're going through one of the most difficult times in your life and someone walks up and just offers that verse as encouragement? And I'm thinking, in a lot of cases, that's like putting a Band-Aid on a cut off leg. Well, we know that all things work together for good, yet I understand that, but there's qualifications in the verse too, okay? All things work together for good to them who love God. That's not saying that everything out here in this world that's happening with every person is all working together for good. They work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And he comes down through and he starts talking about the resemblance of Christ. And as I started thinking about this phrase, being conformed to the image of His Son, it took me over to another phrase as I was praying about Father's Day. And with everything inside of me, I didn't want to go over and read Ephesians chapter 5 this morning on husbands, love your wives. But all the wives are saying, no, please go over and read that verse this morning. It would be okay. It's Father's Day. Husbands and wives, we ought to be loving each other. But I looked at this phrase because the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 that husbands are supposed to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And so I started looking specifically at that phrase, as Christ. And started tracing that through, just that little phrase, to say, Lord, if we are to be conformed into the image of Christ, then that means that my actions, my attitude, everything ought to progressively be becoming more like Christ and less like this world and less like the old me. We ought to be like Christ, as Christ. And I want to share a few thoughts with you as we look down through here. First of all, I want to say that we ought to be resembling Christ in our love for Christ and our love for others. Love as Christ loved. As we look at the image of His Son, we're reminded that the Bible teaches us that Jesus came to this earth to be able to seek and to save those that are lost. It says that God sent His only begotten Son for one reason. It says, for God so loved the world. And as I read over there, the resemblance of our love, where it says that the husbands ought to love their wives as Christ loved the church, I wonder if we walk in love as Christ walked in love towards those that were around Him. You say, oh no, I'm a person of hate. I just, every person I come in contact with, I want to discourage them. It's just my personality. Well, can I say that that's not resembling Christ? But that's who I am. Well, that may be the old man, but God's desire in us to be conformed into the image of His Son. And can I say, this may be one of the hardest things, is walking in love to resemble Christ. It gets difficult week after week after week, and some would testify to this. The more people you come in contact with, maybe the less love you have for humanity. We were planting some flowers and some plants and some bushes and shrubs on Friday. And you know something? Not a one of them ever talked back to us. Not a one of them said, hey, I don't like this hole you're putting me in. Not a one of them said, hey, you need to give me a little bit more water, a little bit more fertilizer. Not one flower looked up and said, you're not feeding me enough. Not one of them. Maybe that's why some people spend all their time in nature dealing with trees and shrubs and bushes than they do dealing with people. But listen, we're commanded as we read through the Scriptures and we're reminded of the love that the Lord Jesus Christ had for all those that were around Him. Listen, when a woman came to the well in the middle of the day, she had been married 5 times and she was living with a guy at the time. But Jesus had compassion on her and met her right there and said, listen, I want to give you some eternal water. I want to give you something that if you partake of the water that I give to you freely, you'll never thirst again. Sometimes we look at the outcasts of society and we say, oh, they're just getting what they deserve. But when the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, listen, I want you to look at people the way that He looks at people. And He wants us to love people and walk in love the way that the Lord Jesus walked in love. Now, may I say this, and I know there's an overbalance today about the love of Jesus. And there'll be many that'll walk in churches and it's all about the love of God and love of Jesus and everything's just wonderful and life's just one big bed of roses. Now, can I say this? I believe that the love of God is true. And I believe it's real. But may I also say that the judgment of God is also true and real. And it's the reality of the love of God, and we're overwhelmed by that. In fact, by the end of this passage of Scripture, he starts in verse number 35 and says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? and walking in love and loving people the way that the Lord Jesus Christ loved people. But may we not forget that there is the righteousness and the holiness and the judgment of Almighty God. The same God that loves me and sent His only begotten Son to die for me is the same one that said you can choose life or you can choose death. You can choose blessings or you can choose cursings. The choice is up to us. I chose the love of God, and a lot of people say, well, I choose the love of God, but we got to acknowledge the wrath of God that was poured out on the Lord Jesus Christ. You ever heard the statement sometimes that truth hurts? We mentioned it down in Sunday school as we were talking this morning and going through some things and learning some things together. And I say one of the hardest parts, and to be real sensitive to people that maybe have grown up in another religion that doesn't base everything off the Word of God, that it's based on man's opinion or maybe some council's decision on what this church is going to practice and not go back to the Scriptures. I said I try to be real tender and real loving to be able to tell the truth of what they've been taught and what they've believed their entire life. Is not true. And can I say, some people will just walk up to them and say, hey, that's a bunch of garbage. A little bit of love, a little bit of compassion. You're going against everything they've been taught by their parents and their grandparents. And I believe in a lot of cases, the Lord Jesus was so tender to be able to walk in love and to be able to teach them. Here's what the Word of God says. And I wonder today if we are resembling Christ in the love we have for Christ and the love we have from others. But then in the spirit of Father's Day, I wonder if we're resembling Christ in our leadership in the home and to our families. Now, ladies, this is where you can sit back, get your elbows ready, okay? This is Ephesians chapter number 5, and I will turn over there and I am going to read it this morning. Ephesians chapter number 5, and this is where that phrase, two times it's used here, as Christ. And I know these aren't popular verses. They're popular, some of them are, with the men. Some of them aren't so much with the ladies. But in verse number 23, it does say, this is still in the Scriptures, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. I wonder, there's never been a void of leadership when it came to Christ and the church. But I wonder today, men, fathers, husbands, are we resembling Christ in our leadership in our homes and with our family? Are we resembling Christ? Because the exact example that is given here is that Christ is the head of the church, and every one of us would go to the point and say, yes, the pastor doesn't own this church. Christ is the head of this church. To which I say, amen. Christ is the head of this church. We answer to Christ. May I also say that is the example and the illustration that is given of the way that the husband and the father ought to be the spiritual leader inside their home. Now, it's a whole lot easier for a husband and a father to be the spiritual leader when there is a wife and there are children that are looking to him to be the spiritual leader. And we've lost that in society. You say that takes away the authority of the ladies. No, it doesn't. The Bible says here in Ephesians 5, we're supposed to submit ourselves one to another. There is an order that God has set up inside the home. And I believe a lot of times the reason that you have a dominant lady that is trying to run the home is because you have men that have jellyfish as backbones that aren't willing to stand up and take the lead and be who God has called them to be. Two single men said amen. Of course. I knew that was coming. You know as well as I do, across America today, there is a great dearth of leadership. And we need some fathers. We need some young men that'll say, listen, when God gives me a wife, maybe 10 or 15 years from now, might be 30 for others. Hang in there, Joe. It might take a while, but when God gives me a wife, when God gives me a family, I'm going to be the godly husband and father that God desires for me to be. Boy, we need that today. Now listen, I said it this week. I fully respect, I think I told Brother Bunnell and Brother, Don Andrews. As we were standing outside and talking about something this week, I looked at him, I said, listen, I highly respect a man that would look at others and say, let me check with my wife. And I also respect a lady that would look and say, let me check with my husband. You say, that's because of dominance. No, it isn't. That's out of mutual respect. Back and forth to each other. We're not saying that a man is a dictator in a house, no more than the lady ought to be the dictator, but someone ought to be the spiritual leader. Someone ought to be able to say, listen, this is what God has for us, and we need some children that when they have a godly father that is willing to stand for truth and stand for right and say, this is what our family is going to do by the grace of God, some children that'll fall in line and say, I'm following the leadership that God has given to my dad. You say, well, I'm my own person. Listen, if my dad was still alive today, with all respect, if he called me and said, Peter, you need to pray about this, guess what I would do? I'd pray about it. There's just something about honoring your parent, and that didn't stop when I turned 18. There was still an honor and respect and a submission because I knew this. He didn't always do it because I liked it. But I did know he was trying to please God with his life. And can I say our supreme example as a husband and as a father are those two words, as Christ. And I wonder today, you say, well, I'm not married. I don't have kids. None of that applies to me. Can I say you better start cultivating those actions, that discipline. How about an old-fashioned work ethic? Just doing a job till it's finished. And just saying, I'm going to see it through. I'm going to continue with it. And I'm not quitting. I don't care if the back hurts. I had to keep up with aged people yesterday. I don't know how old they are. Some aged people. Listen, I couldn't quit and sit down. Dodd and Judy Andrews were out there. If I'm saying I'm taking a break, they're still going. I'm like, they're 70. They're still shoveling malt. I guess I can continue on. Then I had a younger guy, and I said, I can keep up with that younger guy. There's an old-fashioned work ethic. But listen, the sacrifice and the service that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to the church, I wonder if we're resembling Christ in our leadership inside the homes. Or if we're just saying, whatever they want to do, it's fine. No. Be a man of God. And be the leader that God desires for you to be. And I found out this world is starving for leadership. Biblical leadership. But then I was reminded, we won't turn over here and read all the verses. I was reminded over in 1 Peter chapter number 4 that talks about the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he looks at us and he says, even as Christ suffered, prepare yourself to do the same. And I wonder, even in our long suffering, in the suffering that we go through, I wonder if we're resembling Christ. What do you think Christ's spirit was while he hung there on that cross? As those that nailed him to that cross were down there and gambling to see who was going to be able to take his robe. It was such a nice robe. Listen, they didn't even want to cut it. It was a one-piece robe completely sewn together. And they're down there gambling at the feet of Jesus to see who's going to get his robe. They're down there mocking him. They're giving him vinegar to be able to drink. They're making fun of the Lord Jesus. Through his suffering, he still said, "Father, forgive them." And I wonder, through suffering that we go through here in this life, I wonder if we resemble Christ in it. Do you know how much suffering people have gone through and it's actually turned them away from God and turned them away from the church and say, well, if that's the way it's going to be, then I'm not going to live this Christian life. Oh, I don't deserve to be treated like that. You know, God spoke to my heart is probably about 18 years ago now. And on that phrase, and I said it to myself, Brother Shepherd, so I'm not preaching to anybody else right now. I said it to myself that day. I said, I don't deserve to be treated like that. And God said, oh, you got an expectation on how you're supposed to be treated? He said, that's nothing more than pride. I said, well, I think I'll hold on to that and try to learn something from it. He said, you've set this expectation on how everybody's supposed to come up and treat you. So when I say I've been treated wrong, that means I had an expectation of how I ought to be treated right. And I'm saying, maybe I could use some long suffering through suffering and through persecution, through what may be done to be able to resemble Christ. I believe Stephen over in Acts chapter number 8, don't you think he resembled Christ as they were stoning him? And yet he looked up. Listen, he had just got done preaching. And boy, I heard a great thought. Talk about loving people as Christ loved them. He had just got done in his preaching and looked at them and tore them up one side and down the other. And then they're stoning him. And the same man was able to look up and say, lay not this sin to their charge. And I thought, you can have boldness in preaching, but still have compassion and love upon people. Even through suffering, we can still resemble Christ. You say, I want to resemble Christ in my life, and every one of us do. Listen, I want the love of God to flow through me to everybody else. Why is it that it's always we want the love of God to flow through, but usually what comes through is the turning over of tables that Jesus did? And Jesus did that too. We want the love of God, we want the mercy of God, we want the compassion of God to be able to flow through. But may I say this, that none of this even begins to happen without a personal relationship with Jesus. There's been many that have said that Larry and I actually look more like family than what Becky and I do. But you know something, outside of my sister, there's absolutely no relation whatsoever here. I didn't even know a Larry Hodgkins existed outside of my sister. You see, I could spend my entire life, because he's much older than I am, trying to resemble Larry. I could. But all my efforts would just be surface efforts, because there's no relationship there. And I thought, you know, when it comes to Christ, there are several that are sitting in churches today. There may be some that are sitting right here today. And you say, I'd like to act like Christ. I'd like to be charitable. I'd like to be loving. I'd like to do all these good things. But you're trying to do everything to resemble someone you don't even know. How many have ever tried to imitate? And some do a pretty good imitation. They get up and try to imitate President Trump. They get up and try to imitate someone else famous, and it's like they're trying to do an imitation of someone they don't even know. There's people sitting in church week after week after week, and they're just trying to imitate someone who's not even real to them. And I wonder how many may be sitting here this morning. You want to do what's right. You know it's right to be in church. You know it's right to be around good people. You've got a moral compass that helps point you the right direction, but it just seems like there's always something missing. Can I say it comes back to that relationship with Christ? We're predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, but that's for those of us that know Him as our personal Lord and Savior. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, can I say this? There's no greater day. Some may say, I don't have a good earthly father, but you can start today with a great heavenly Father. I love the verse over in Psalms where it says that if father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Well, I'm so thankful. Verses like that God gives to you. But resembling Christ, everything in our life as a Christian is to make us Christ-like. It all begins with a relationship with Christ. If you're here today and you're not saved, you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, today's the day. If you're here today and we are saved, we know that we're on our way to heaven, we know we'll spend eternity with Christ, can I say we resemble Him most by spending time with Him in prayer and study? And that's how we get to know Him more. Resemble Christ. It's okay for someone to say, you're acting like Jesus today. It's okay for them to say, hey, I see Jesus in you. That's okay. Amen. Not in a prideful way. Not in, hey, listen, I'm higher than everybody else. But no greater compliment than for us to be set off to the side and for people to be able to say, they're acting like Jesus. That ought to be the goal in life. Husbands, our wives ought to be able to look at us and say, you know, as Christ is loving the church, that's exactly how you love me. That ought to be our desire. Through our suffering, do we have the same spirit and resembling of the Lord Jesus Christ? Spend time with Him to resemble Him. How many people has it been said about that the longer they're married, the more they even start to look like each other? Crystal's in rough shape. You start to talk like each other. You finish each other's sandwiches. You start to resemble each other more and more. The more we spend time with our Savior, guess what? He'll resemble us more and more. We look like Him. He's looking like us. Boy, I'm telling you, praise the Lord. I guess it could be a good case of mistaken identity when they just look at us and say, you know, you're just looking like Jesus. Thank you. It's okay if someone calls you a Jesus freak. Why, thank you. Because that's what I'm going for, is to look and act like Jesus. Do you know Him today? Is He your Savior? Is He your Heavenly Father? But then Christians, would we take an honest look at ourselves? Do we resemble Christ? Or are we so busy trying to look like the world, act like the world? The words that come out of our mouth are even resembling the world. And if we wouldn't tell anybody, they wouldn't even know that we're a Christian. Let's resemble Christ. Would you stand with your heads bowed and eyes closed? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Ask you a few questions this morning. First of all, I wonder if you're here today and you'd say, I know that I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. I know I'm going to spend eternity with my Savior. Not a doubt in my mind, and I'm not ashamed to tell you. Would you just slip your hand up and slip it down? I know that I'm saved. I know that I am. Thank you. I appreciate your honesty. I wonder if you're here this morning, you'd say, Pastor, I couldn't raise my hand. I'm not sure. Not sure that heaven's my home. Not sure of eternity with my Savior. But I'm concerned about it enough to let you pray for me. And I wonder if there'd be one. Just say, Pastor, pray for me. I might be trying to resemble Christ, but He's not even my Heavenly Father. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up, slip it down? Pastor, pray for me. Just not sure that I'm saved. Not sure of that relationship with Christ. Would you pray for me? Just slip your hand up, slip it down. I know the Lord's speaking to your heart. We Would you just pray for me? Slip it up, slip it down. I'll have a word of prayer for you. All right, then, Christians, let me ask you this. I wonder if you'd look at your life, and maybe the Lord would say, hey, there's this area right here that doesn't resemble Christ. That doesn't look like Christ. Doesn't. And maybe God would put His finger on something in your life today. And maybe you'd say, Pastor, would you pray for me? God spoke to my heart. You don't have to tell me what it is. Just in one way or another, you'd say, God spoke to my heart. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up, slip it down? I appreciate that. I appreciate your honesty. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. God spoke to your heart. I wonder if you'd be willing to step out from where you're at right now, come down, spend some time at the altar, and say, Lord, You spoke to my heart about this issue, about not resembling You. And I want that to stop today, and I want it to be right. And in every area, it may be that you'd be saying in your life, listen, my desire, God, I'm giving it to You. My desire is every area. My attitude, my actions, listen, my relationship with my wife, relationship with my husband, relationship with my parents, with my children, I want it to resemble Christ. Would you spend some time with Him this morning? Get that right. She's going to play one more verse. Resembling Christ. I so desire, listen, I want Him to look at Granite State Baptist Church and say that if Christ was here on earth, I believe that church resembles Christ. It looks just like Him. In the love, in the truth, the compassion, but yet preaching the truth in love. Just play that chorus through one more time, Miss June. Resembling Christ. It's God speaking to hearts. If you're here and you're not saved, it's not too late. Maybe you'd say, Pastor, I'm not ready to get saved today, but I know I need to. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up and slip it down? I know I need to be saved. I'm just not ready to do it today. Would you just pray for me? Just slip your hand up, slip it down. God, I want to pray for you. I really do. Pray that God would speak to your heart. Get it settled. God's so faithful. Father, we sure do love You. Thank You for the Word of God. Lord, I thank You for the truth. Every one of us that are a child of God, predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. And Lord, I pray that in our daily lives, each and every one of us, Lord, I pray that I would love my wife as Christ loved the church. I pray that I'd give myself for my wife and for my children the way that Christ gave Himself. Lord, I pray that in every area of my life, my love towards others, it would resemble Christ. And Lord, most of all, that You'd be glorified with my life. And Lord, I pray that that is the desire upon every heart that's here. Lord, if there's still one among us that doesn't know You as their personal Lord and Savior, then Lord, please. Lord, may they get that settled and begin what is the greatest life they'll ever live. And that's the life of walking with You. Thank You for Your love to us. Thank You for the Scriptures. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.